I'm Amanda.
And I'm Mike. And
this is Saturday Morning Cereal. Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic?
Have you or your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up the phone and call the professionals.
Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
What is up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Saturday Morning Cereal. I'm Amanda here with Mike, and today we are talking about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and it's been a while since Mike and I have been to the movie theater. What, like since November with the Marvels?
Yes.
Yeah. And we have been watching the Oscar-winning films as well. We just watched Poor Things last week, which it is raunch, but I really appreciated the artistic approach that they took with the film. And then we watched Oppenheimer. I thought it was boring, but I don't know too much about the history of Oppenheimer. Mike, you enjoyed it a little bit, right?
I enjoyed the science aspects of it. I heard about all of these characters in, well, real life people, I mean, in physics too and in science. And I really enjoyed seeing all of them portrayed this way. And I kind of picked up on all the lingo they were using and all the terms and the history as well. World War II is always interesting to me. So I enjoyed it. I know it's not for everyone, but I understand why it won Best Picture, and I support the decision that it did.
Yeah, I have to agree. I thought it was very visually captivating, and I'm sure seeing it, we didn't see it in IMAX, but I'm sure seeing it in IMAX would have been like a whole new adventure. But today we are talking about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, so let's dive into our review.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire stars Paul Rudd as Gary Gooberson, Carrie Coon as Callie Spangler, Finn Wolfhard as Trevor Spangler, McKenna Grace as Phoebe Spangler, Kumar Nanjiani as Nadam Razmati, James Acaster as Lars Pinfield, Bill Murray as Peter Venkman, Dan Aykroyd as Ray Stantz, and Ernie Hudson as Winston Zeddemore. It was directed by Gil Kenan, and it was written by Jason Reitman and Gil Kilman.
Oh, man. I really like McKenna Grace. I think she's a fantastic little actress. I've seen her in a bunch of other films, like Handmaid's Tale. She's in that. It's a TV show. I know it's not a film. Goodness, what else, though?
She played, like, 13-year-old Captain Marvel.
That's true. And she also was in The Conjuring. Oh, man, my horror movie trivia is bad right now. But, yeah, she was in, like, a couple horror movies. I really enjoyed her performance. It was good to see everyone come back. I know you really enjoyed Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is my man.
Yeah.
If I had to pick a guy.
Ghostbusters is now a 40-year-old film franchise. That's crazy. When did you first see Ghostbusters, Mike?
I don't know. It was always on growing up as a kid. Like, the movies we had in circulation on TV is pretty much Jurassic Park, Ghostbusters, Forrest Gump, Overboard, the original one with Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, and then, gosh, I'm going to say The Incredibles. They were just always on TV when I was a kid. So I don't know the first time I've seen this movie, but it's always been near and dear to my heart, and my sister is obsessed with it. So it's great that after all these years, it still gets a lot of love.
Yeah. I knew of it, and I knew the characters a little bit. I knew, like, the sights and sounds of the movies. And my parents watched it. It was on. But I never really sat down to, like, really watch them and just, you know, get involved in the story. So, but, yeah, that was my first time was seeing it with you guys. We sat down at your sister's house and watched it for the first time for me.
So, what do you think makes it such a hit that has endured for 40 years? What do you see as someone who just got into it 3 years ago when Frozen Empire, when Afterlife came out?
You know, it's just like one of those movies that it's family friendly, but yet I think kids especially would be like very curious because it has like ghosts and everything. And it's not to the point where it's like, I mean, maybe it'll give kids' nightmares. I don't know. I don't have kids. I don't know. But the characters are very likable. I really enjoy Stay Puft, and I think Stay Puft is just a staple for these movies. You know, it's like Pikachu for Pokemon, you know. And Slimer, he's fun. They're just fun movies, and, you know, I love the jokes that just, like, come out of nowhere. And, like, there were a couple adult jokes in this new one, and, you know, us adults are laughing, but the kids, they didn't elicit a reaction from them at all.
Yeah, it's one of those movies, like, it's when you watch it when you're on the cusp of going into more mature movies. Like, it's kind of like a bridge movie. Like, you know, you're watching, like, E.T. and stuff as a kid, and then you watch Ghostbusters, and it's just a little bit more scary, and then you can get into the more PG-13 R-rated movies as you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So, without spoiling the film, Amanda, can you recommend it?
Yeah. There was a lot of classic callbacks, and someone like, you know, your sister was pretty pleased with how both the films, the previous film and this one, turned out. There's a lot of callbacks to the original film. So if you're, like, a massive fan of these, yeah, go see it. I think it'll definitely be worth your while. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's evolved into a family film franchise now, and it's a great film for the family. If you have kids who are maybe a little bit older than 10 or so, you can take them to see this, and they'll have a great time, and you'll enjoy the callbacks, and they'll enjoy the younger characters and the jokes and the humor and the effects.
Would you think those are the positives of the film, is just the overall general feel-good humor and the characters that are very likable?
Yeah, I find all the characters really likable. You know, a lot of times in comedy, you'll have characters that are just really annoying and really loud, and they'll just start talking, and they think when they're loud that they're funny. That's really not the case here. All of the great jokes in this movie are kind of off the cuff, and they're kind of blink and you miss them ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is one in here about Mary Todd Lincoln, which I thought was the funniest one in the film that really caught me off guard. Yeah, so you have to pay attention to them, and they're not, like, loud and obnoxious. And then you have, like, the more physical jokes, like with Slimer and Stay Puft. So, yeah, lots of great humor, lots of family oriented themes and characters is great.
Mm-hmm.
So the negatives for the film for me would have to be the amount of characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, with these legacy sequels, like we just saw with Jurassic Park, the last Jurassic Park one, is that they bring in the old cast, which in the old cast in their own right can have their own movie, which they've established. Then they have these newer characters who kind of hold their own movie. And when you put them together, it's too much movie. And I would have liked to see a little bit more. They can still have these characters, but they need to give them things to do together. Like, like Finn Wolfhard's character in this movie, like most of his scenes are dedicated to Slimer,
mm-hmm.
which is just a fun callback, but it really doesn't propel the narrative forward. And when you have so many characters, you need to split them up into groups and have them accomplish goals together, so that they don't step on each other. Like, when you watch Avengers Endgame, there's so many Avengers in that movie who are left going to find the Infinity Stones throughout the timeline, but they pair up in twos, and they pair up in character in ways that the characters are similar, so they can bounce off of each other. Like, War Machine and Nebula are both people who have suffered a lot, and they've had to endure and modify their body to keep up with the other Avengers. And that's really cool. And, like, you know, Steve and Tony go back in the time to the 40s or the 50s, and they can both relate to that, and Tony runs into his dad. So they build off of each other, and they go thematically together. So I would have liked to see something like that happen here.
So, you know, since you think there were just a lot of characters, I mean, it contains an ensemble of lively characters. Who is the standout character in this for you?
I don't really think there is one for me. I mean, they all kind of have a great moment to shine, mm-hmm. but no one stood out like they did in Afterlife. Like, when I watch Afterlife, it's like Phoebe Spengler is so good, and they give her so much to do, and she challenges the other characters, and in this one, you know, she's there. and she's not given as much to do.
Yeah. I mean, you can argue, I can argue that she was, for me, the standout character because she ultimately caught how to contain the, you know, big bad monster with bronze. So I thought that was clever.
Yeah.
I also did like Nadim. I thought he was just funny. Because, you know, he was given these powers and he's like, oh, what?
Yeah. Nadim, you're a fire vendor.
Yeah. So I thought that was, I got a kick out of that. Do you feel like this is the movie that the trailers promised?
I don't think so. I think that what, from what I made out of the previews, is that the Ghostbusters would be primarily fighting ghosts in this, like, Arctic tundra New York City setting. And they really don't do that till the third act of the film. And I'm kind of upset because I expected, like, the Ecto-1 to be driving through New York City and kind of drifting and fishtailing in the snow. And maybe they put chains on it or they modify it. And they have, like, what are they called? Snowmobiles. And they're riding around on snowmobiles. And they have the heavier jackets. And they're fighting more Arctic-themed ghosts. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like it was mostly in that third act, and the rest of the movie took place in the heat wave. And the movie came out in March. And of course, in Chicago here, we have warm weather and then cold weather, but it would have been really cool for this movie to come out in the summer and have that contrast with the theme of the movie being ice.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked that.
I didn't watch the trailer, so I don't have an answer for that. But yeah, okay.
Amanda, do you have a favorite sequence in this movie?
Oh, man. I think I have two? First off is when the little red, like, zippy ghost transforms into the lion at the Museum of Natural History in New York City. I thought that actually was a little freaky. Like, Dan Aykroyd was reaching for the backpack, and all of a sudden, he comes face to face with the lion looking at him. That was really, I was like, I gasped. I was like, woo. But that whole sequence was fun. I just want to call out, though, like, this isn't really particularly my favorite, but when they go to Ernie Hudson's, or, you know, his character's underground base or whatever that had a bunch of captured ghosts behind glass, I thought it was funny because it reminded me of Spider-Man No Way Home when Doctor Strange has Peter collect all the, you know, the...
You have an undercroft?
Yeah, an undercroft. So, yeah, I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, I remember every item in that scene was possessed by a ghost. That reminded me of what the Warrens have.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
From, was it Insidious?
Conjuring.
In Conjuring. Yeah. They have a whole room of possessed items, including Annabelle, the possessed mm-hmm. doll.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny because, like, the Ghostbusters be like, oh yeah, we'll take all this stuff. We'll get rid of the ghosts. You know, whatever.
It would be very interesting if there was, like, you know, theoretically, that this will never happen, but a crossover, and they take, like, Annabelle and all those possessed items that the Warrens have, and you can kind of see what the ghosts look like behind them.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely enjoyed the opening sequence of this film, where they're driving through New York City, chasing after the, was it, like, alligator ghost, and it's hovering above the city, and it's going through all the mazes of traffic and everything, and they're in the Ecto-1 and they're chasing it, and Phoebe is out on the gunner seat with the proton pack, and then her stepfather is driving, and then Trevor's operating the RC car with the trap on it, and then it gets out of range, and they Carrie Coon's character operates the drone. I thought that was really cool. And they're driving through New York City, and they're dodging all this traffic. And then they end up hitting all those divvy bikes?
Something like that.
Yeah, they hit all those bikes, and Paul Rudd's like, oh, who put those bikes there, you know, on the sidewalk? I thought that was funny. That's a really great combination of all the things that Ghostbusters has going for it. It's got the proton pack, it's got the traps, it's got the Ecto-1, it's got the characters, it's got the setting in New York City. I thought it all came together really well there.
Mm-hmm. How does Frozen Empire stack up against other comedies? Was it funny? Like, would you consider this movie a comedy?
Yeah, I think it falls into, like, a horror comedy realm. There's not a lot of other horror comedies with this amount of cast in it or budget. Like, for me, like, the greatest horror comedy movie of all time is Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not quite an Edgar Wright movie, you know, where they utilize film as the medium to tell comedy, but they have more, like, improv, dialogue-based comedy in this one, and it's great. I wouldn't say it's as funny as the original Ghostbusters, but it was funny enough for what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was, you know, there's a lot more comedy than it being scary. And a lot of it is a callback to the original films. But I think some of the scenes were pretty scary for small children. Especially the, you know, horned ice ghost. I don't know what his name was, but...
Me too.
I forgot too. But yeah, I thought like those sequences were pretty... If I was a small child, a little, because I remember, like, watching, like, Courage the Cowardly Dog and, like, Goosebumps and stuff when I was a kid. And, like, don't get me wrong, but I can handle a horror movie pretty well, except for Sinister. But, I just remember, though, like, as a kid, it just being, like, curious about something scary and then watching it and being like, you know, and you have that uneasy feeling, you know, you might go into bed with your parents, like, type of thing. So, what about you? Did you think it was scary?
Not necessarily. I did enjoy the more scary imagery, though. Like, the main bad guy of this movie, the frozen emperor, I'm going to call him because I forgot his real name.
Yeah.
He's got horns, and then he's got these long fingernails. And then when he freezes people, it's really chilling to make mm-hmm. a pun about it. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not too scary.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to scare the audience too much.
Yeah, because they definitely know it's a family film.
Yeah, it is a family film.
What changes would you make to the film?
Oh, boy. Like I was saying earlier, I would have liked to see the majority of the movie take place in the frozen New York City. I would have paired up the characters more. And I would have had the OGs kind of doing their own side quest, and the newer new characters busting ghosts. And then I would have had, I would have gotten rid of Slimer. No offense, but he doesn't add anything to the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been cool if Phoebe had met that friendly ghost that she meets, if she had met her earlier in the film. And then they established that when the tundra takes over, that she's being under control of the emperor, the frozen emperor, as I'm going to call him again. And maybe they could have run into more ghosts that they're busting in this Arctic setting under the control of this emperor, and they're acting outside of the realm with normal ghosts. Dude, that would have been cool. Mm-hmm. And the finale of this film is kind of anticlimactic to me because it takes place in the firehouse. And there's just so many characters on top of each other. Like, I would have liked it to take place maybe outside on the roof of the firehouse or somewhere else iconic to New York City where they can space out the characters more and have them do more individual things before coming together at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I would have liked that.
Like because, The Incredibles.
Yeah, because having this cool frozen New York City setting and then going, well, okay, let's go inside. And let's shoot our finale here. That was kind of a waste of opportunity for me.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I don't really have anything to add to that. But, yeah, I do agree, like, the end was when they were defeating the frozen monster. Like, it was just kind of anticlimactic for me.
Yeah, and I guess, like, maybe we could have had more training of... Kumar Nanjiani's character, because at the end of the movie, he kind of just gets it.
Mm-hmm.
I really did enjoy, as you pointed out earlier, that though Phoebe, like, modifying her proton pack to include brass instead of copper, and then at the end of the movie, the color of her stream changed from, like, blue, red to green.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
So, Amanda, you're kind of still new to this film franchise. You've probably only seen each film once, but mm-hmm. this is a tough question, but where do you rank Frozen Empire among the Ghostbuster films?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I really enjoyed the original ones because they were just so funny. I enjoyed the last Ghostbusters film that, I mean, I just love the little mini Stay Puft character.
Okay, so Afterlife. Afterlife is your number one then?
No, I think maybe the second one with the floating baby.
The floating baby.
That was hilarious. I don't know. I honestly don't have an answer for you on that, but where would you rank it?
I would rank probably Ghostbusters Afterlife as my number one. And then I would rank Ghostbusters 1 as number 2, Frozen Empire as number 3, and then Ghostbusters 2 is number 4. And then, of course, we don't talk about the 2016 film with all the women and Chris Hemsworth in it. We don't talk about that one.
So what would you want to see if there was a next film?
Less characters, I guess. Or the characters, again, being grouped off and given specific goals and missions that interlink to the end of the movie, I'd like to see. And maybe a different setting than New York. Like, maybe the Ghostbusters could go to another country or another part of the world and establish, like, a remote off-site Ghostbusters base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the ghosts like in China? Or what are they like in Japan? Or what are they like in France? Like, that would be cool. Or what are they like in, like, the Aztec, in the rainforest or something? Like, it's a cool concept. I mean, the Ghostbusters is basically, they're like exterminators for ghosts. Like, you call exterminators for a lot more than just urban setting. So something outside of that would be neat.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree with that. More ghosts, definitely.
Yeah, more ghostbusting in Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. All right. And with that, that concludes our Ghostbusters Frozen Empire review. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, make sure you check out the link we have in our bio for our past episodes, our social media followings, all that. And we hope you guys have a good week and a nice Easter.